As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome back. It's another episode of the Athletic Hockey Show. Ian Mendes, Haley Salvian to kick off your week in the hockey world. And the NHL offseason is now in full swing. We'll chat about the latest rumors and rumblings around the league. Jeremy Rutherford will stop by with the latest on the Vlad Tarasenko rumors and what the Blues might be up to in the weeks ahead. We'll discuss Nikita Kucherov's wardrobe choice on the weekend as he was flaunting the fact that his Tampa team was $18 million over the cap with a custom-made T-shirt. And as we talked about off the top here, it's going to be a big week for general managers around the league. They're going to finalize their rosters ahead of the Seattle expansion draft. We'll chat about which teams could have some protection issues. As always, we'll wrap up with a little multiple choice madness, and I'll ask the super soccer fan Haley if she'd ever like to see penalty shots decide an important NHL game like we saw with the Euro Cup on the weekend. But Haley, as we kick off this Monday edition of the Athletic Hockey Show, I got to ask you, because it's not often that the team that I cover is the main talking point league-wide, but that is the case. Ottawa Senators announcing they have hired Pierre Maguire, longtime NBC broadcaster, in a senior role with the hockey club. He's going to work in tandem with Pierre Dorion, the general manager. I want you to tell me what your initial reaction was, if you saw it on Twitter, if somebody texted you, and what your reaction was to the news that Pierre Maguire is headed to Ottawa.
Yeah, so I can show you. I mean, people listening won't be able to see it because this is a podcast and not on video, but you can clearly see at 7:04 a.m., my very good friend Jessica, we worked together in Oshawa, texted me at 7:04 the news release that just said, "Pardon? Question mark?" And my response was just, "What?" That was my reaction. What? 7 a.m., just waking up, getting ready for my day, and I get this news release sent to me, and my reaction was just, "What?"
Now, I couldn't see your
pardon?
I couldn't see your screen grab there. That's W-U-T what, right?
No, you know
no.
What? I spelt it properly. I know. Big
what?
Mistake. Big mistake. Yeah, yeah. And it wasn't just like lowercase W-U-T, which probably would have had more of a dramatic effect.
Yeah.
But no, my initial reaction was about the same as my friend who sent it to me. We were both just like, oh, okay. This happened today. But this is your team, Ian.
Yeah.
This is your area of expertise. So
yeah.
I'm throwing it back to you. We're switching seats here.
Yeah, listen, this is, look, when the Ottawa Senators said that they wanted to hire somebody in hockey operations a couple of years ago, I think a lot of people thought they were going to bring in a veteran hockey person that would inject stability into the front office. I think when you bring in Pierre Maguire, Pierre is one of the most polarizing people in the hockey world. There's no other way to put it, right? He's polarizing. Mm-hmm. There's people who really respect and like what Pierre Maguire's done. And then there's people who hate everything about him. And so this is going to be an interesting dynamic. Pierre is one of those people that creates a referendum on hockey. And, you know, and in fact, in his media availability today, I asked him straight up. I said, Pierre, there's people out there. This is to Pierre Maguire. People believe that you hate analytics. What's your response to that? And he said, look, I don't hate analytics, but, and then there was a but, and he went on to talk a little bit about how he believes in, and he used the term boots on the ground number of times. You need boots on the ground. You need to see things with your eyes. And so I think this is going to be interesting. Because you got somebody who is, rightly or wrongly, the reputation is he's old school, right? And how is that going to fit in with a team that's trying to win in the salary cap era with some, you know, with some limited resources? The Ottawa Senators need to learn how to punch above their weight. And this is going to be interesting. You're bringing in somebody again who's got a reputation of being old school. And this is going to be fascinating because another element of this, Haley, and I think this is really important for our listeners to know, a big part of Pierre Maguire's job is going to be doing interviews with the media, with fans, doing all sorts of availabilities. That's huge, right? Like for an organization that has struggled to get their messaging. Now, where I do think Pierre, he is a very loquacious, gifted talker. Okay. So remove any opinions you may have of him, the guy can speak, and he can speak well, and he can speak for long stretches. So from that perspective, I think it's a good thing for an organization that has been starving for some sort of consistent voice that's comfortable in front of the cameras. They got it. The question is, what's the message coming out of that mouth that's going to be interesting? And that's where we're going to see in the next few months. This is going to be a super interesting situation.
Yeah, well, I think the way that you describe it as, you know, him being polarizing, you know, I don't think that should be like something that's offensive, because I think it's true when you look at the reaction, even just on Twitter with the Sens, I see some people defending the hire. I see some people saying like, why? Why did this happen? I don't like this, you know. But then I also see people saying, you know, who else could they have hired? Find someone who has more experience in the broadcast realm or in the front office, et cetera. So there's two very different sides to this. So I think polarizing is the best way to put it. To me, what I found interesting was the discussion about analytics, and good on you for asking the question, because I think that's one of the major things that has made him so polarizing is the ways in which he would speak about analytics on broadcasts, and obviously the way that he thinks about underlying numbers. And I think that analytics cannot be the entire piece of the puzzle. Like analytics can't be the entire puzzle. Analytics cannot be the catch one, oh, look at his game score, or look at his Corsi, or his expected goals. That's what the player is. There's a lot more that goes into the game than analytics. And so I understand a little bit of it, but I think that it needs to be a piece of it. I think the boots on the ground, I think knowing the players, knowing their intangibles, knowing things that don't show up on the score sheet are important as well. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, you know, Pierre Maguire is going to be reporting to Pierre Dorion. And it seems like they are quite aligned in what their vision is for the team. And that's probably aligned with Eugene Melnyk as well. So, you know, I don't know how much this hire would ultimately move the needle in a negative way if he has the same kind of thought process and vision for the Ottawa Senators as the general manager. I think it's just another support position. I don't know if I'm on the right track there, but, you know, my sense is this isn't going to, you know, move the needle drastically one way or the other.
Yeah, and I think another question I asked to Pierre Dorion today, and I had to ask it two times because the first time I asked it, I think I was so clumsy and awkward. I was trying to couch it and not be a jerk by asking, hey, Pierre Dorion, are you worried that Pierre Maguire is going to steal your job? But you can't ask it like that.
No.
You can't,
no.
Right? But so I tried to couch it, and I'm like, you know, I'm just, it's human nature. You've got 1 year left on your contract. And he's like, sorry, is there a question in there? And I'm like, okay. Is Pierre Dorion worried that Pierre Maguire is going to take his job? Like, so mm-hmm. I had to boil it down. But I really appreciate Pierre Dorion's ability to just seek some clarity on my question, but then B, go into a rather long-winded response, a very detailed response to mm-hmm. my question. So I appreciate that from Pierre Dorion. And he's saying, look, I don't believe that that's the case. I don't believe that Pierre Maguire wants my job. But I do think, Haley, there's an element out there of there's a segment of the fan base who believe that now they've got Pierre Maguire waiting in the wings, that if the season mm-hmm. doesn't start the way it should and the owner gets an itchy trigger finger, Dorion is out, Maguire is in. That's the mm-hmm. feeling from a lot of people that are looking at this. And I thought it was interesting too, Haley, at one point in his media availability, Pierre Maguire says, as I try to guess the timeline on this, I'm guessing 2013, 2014. Pierre Maguire, Haley, says he was offered a general manager's job in the NHL, but turned it down. Says, I had 7 years left on my deal with NBC. The team that offered me the general manager's job would only offer me a 2-year deal. And I told them, and again, I'm just relaying to our listeners what Pierre Maguire told us. Maguire yeah. says, I made a deal with NBC that I would only leave if I got a GM's job and there was some degree of security around that, meaning a 4-year deal. This team mm-hmm. was only willing to go 2 years. I said, thanks, but no thanks. And went back to broadcasting between the glass. So take that for what it is. That's Pierre Maguire saying he had the opportunity to be a general manager and turned it down. I still think at the end of the day, if you work in hockey operations, you would eventually aspire to be a general manager. So whether or not that happens in Ottawa, I don't know. But I think that that is absolutely food for thought.
Well, it's interesting that he brought that up. Surely it was in response to a question that led him to that place. But you don't just bring up the fact that you'd been offered GM jobs before for no reason. So it's interesting to think about what this could mean for the future. I think there, with any rebuilding team, there's always going to be questions around, okay, is the general manager who's leading us now going to be the one that wins a Stanley Cup with this team? Same with the coach. Is the coach that you currently have right now leading the young players the one to actually win a Stanley Cup? Or are they just the ones that are here for this transitional period? So that's always, you know, it's not a unique thing or a unique question for the Ottawa Senators. I think that's just a question that always comes up with any kind of rebuild. So having Pierre Maguire in that position and these questions already starting is it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the next couple of years with the Senators. I mean, even before Maguire got hired, it was always going to be interesting to keep an eye on the Ottawa Senators. I think they're on a great trajectory, but this just adds another little layer to it.
Yeah. And, you know, ideally what Ottawa wants to do, Haley, some point down the road, they want to be riding down the Rideau Canal in some boats for a Stanley Cup parade. We've always thought in Ottawa, that's how they would do it. They would ride down the canal in boats. And that's what they're doing in Tampa today. Stanley Cup parade in Tampa. And Nikita Kucherov, Haley, in the news on the weekend for a photo that has gone viral. So to explain it to our listeners here, Nikita Kucherov, who led the Stanley Cup playoffs in scoring, after missing the entire regular season, became a little bit of a polarizing lightning rod for criticism. See what I did there? Lightning rod for criticism. By essentially skipping the regular season, circumventing the cap, and coming back and helping Tampa win the cup. Kucherov on the weekend, Haley, posts a photo to Instagram of himself with the Stanley Cup trophy. He's on a boat in Tampa. Stanley Cup trophy in one arm, the Vince Lombardi trophy, the Super Bowl trophy of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, in the other arm. And if you look closely, you're like, wait a minute, what shirt is he wearing? He's wearing a shirt that says $18 million over the cap.
Yeah.
He is leaning into this in a big way. Listen, I know we had a lot of thoughts and feelings about the Nikita Kucherov shirtless presser. How do we feel about shirt on Nikita Kucherov with this $18 million over the cap t-shirt?
I think it's funny. I think it's awesome. We talk so much about hockey players being boring and we need to show we want their personality and we need to get some kind of entertainment and et cetera, et cetera. And I think that the shirts are funny. It's showing personality, just like the press conference was. You might not agree with it. You might not personally find it funny, but there's a lot of people who do, and there's a lot of people who are seeing those shirts. I mean, some of the guys have actually are wearing it right now on the boat parade, the $18 million over the cap shirts. I also see one that says Cup Boat Parade Repeat, which is another little tongue-in-cheek idea. There was also the number one bullshit shirts that I saw. Like, this is funny. This is players and teams and sponsors being in tune with the narrative, being in tune with like what's been going on, what people are talking about, and they're capitalizing on it in a fun way. And I just don't have a problem with it. If the league had serious problems with the cap circumvention, cheating, you know, whatever we want to call it, they would have made that change years ago. When this came up the first time, or it wasn't even the first time, just, you know, when this kind of thing with injuries, when it came up last time, the league would have made a change. Like what the Tampa Bay Lightning did, we've said it many times, we'll say it one more time, the league investigated it, it was not cheating, it happened, and now they're making light, and they're making fun, and they're showing their personalities with these t-shirts. I don't have a problem with it. I think it's funny and I kind of want one.
Yeah. Well, they're not just making light of the situation, Haley. They're making Bud Light of the situation.
Oh, I thought you were going to say
because
lightning.
Kucherov, I already used that pun. Like Kucherov signs the endorsement deal too with Bud Light. Like It's just like, boy, I'm not sure that I've seen an NHL player capitalize on something like we've seen Nikita Kucherov in the last 72 hours, right?
Mm-hmm. It's smart. It's smart for your personal brand. It's smart for your marketing. And it's something that we don't always see in the league. Like how many times did something funny happen that a player just like wasted the opportunity on? You know, Philip Deneau, mind you, it was in the middle of the Stanley Cup playoffs. They lost. Like the pizza is such an awesome opportunity for any kind of personal branding or partnerships. I believe he said that he was approached with some sponsorship deals, but he turned them down because he was focusing on the Stanley Cup final, which is understandable. But like, that's a great opportunity for something, you know, more personal. Like those scrums were great. And the one with Cole Caulfield where he brought him a slice of pizza, like that's the stuff. That's the fun stuff that goes on social. You can make a brand, you can get a shirt, whatever. Another example that I thought was actually really fun was Ryan Johansson with the Preds when he had that clip of him just saying, "We're vibing." And that clip was used all the time. It was used throughout the playoffs. His brand actually ended up making t-shirts that said, "We're vibing Nashville." It's little things like that. It's great. The fans buy into it. It could get on a more national audience. You know, I think it's great. And I love seeing the players show their personality and branch out in these kind of ways.
Yeah. I still think of the time Erik Karlsson brought an apple. Do you remember this? Erik Karlsson brings an apple to a press conference.
Yeah.
And he was with San Jose. And like, he just takes a bite out of it. I'm like, how did he not get a deal with, you know, some orchard or something? It would have been perfect. Perfect.
Yeah. What is there an apple orchard in San Jose? They seriously made a mistake for not calling him.
Yeah. All right, Haley, as we kind of alluded to at the very top of the show, this is a really busy week in the National Hockey League. And it's kind of like the first week of the off season. And the number one item on the agenda, I think, for most general managers is the fact that they got to have their expansion protected list into the league by Saturday. And here's a question for you. Are you more excited for like this week leading up to the expansion draft and see who's protected, who's exposed, and the side deals? Or are you more excited for the actual draft night itself, which is on the 21st, where you're like, oh, that's who Calgary lost or Ottawa lost or Philadelphia lost or Columbus, whoever, you know, whoever it is your favorite team out there. Like, what's more interesting to you, the actual expansion draft or all of the maneuvering leading up to it?
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be the actual expansion draft because this will be the first one that I actually get to cover. I was not working in the NHL full time when Vegas expansion happened. I obviously followed it and I thought it was really interesting and cool. And it's really fun to follow. It's, you know, a pretty unique thing, I think you could say, in terms of the NHL. So I think it's the draft for me. I think there's just been so many storylines this season that we've been following with all of our mock drafts, all of our protection lists, running through side deal options, you know, looking at some of the UFAs that Seattle would have exclusive, you know, negotiating rights to in that little window before the draft. I think it's the whole thing, to be honest, because the side deals are obviously a huge part of it. But some of the side deals we won't actually find out until draft day. We won't maybe find out what some things were on the table that fell through until after the fact. I just think this year is kind of setting up to be really interesting because I think Vegas kind of set the table for a good blueprint. And I think a lot of teams are probably wary of doing too many side deals or giving Seattle too much in return because they see the way that Vegas was able to kind of leverage their position, leverage, you know, teams who are tight to the cap and just take so much. Some of those deals really, really worked out well for the Vegas Golden Knights. And I think some GMs are probably wanting to avoid that happening with the Seattle Kraken as well. So I don't know what some of these side deals will end up looking like because of that. But I just think the whole package of, you know, that weekend or that week of the 17th until the 21st is going to be a really fun and interesting time. I know in Calgary, the big question is, are the Flames going to lose Mark Giordano? Like that's not at all insignificant, losing your captain to expansion. And maybe if you don't lose him to expansion, like do you trade him before expansion so you don't lose him for nothing? Especially if Seattle ends up flipping him, like was reported in 31 Thoughts as a potential option. And that's just what the Calgary Flames are looking at. It's not a unique, you know, issue. That's the reality when there's an expansion draft. A lot of teams are going to be set to lose players that they don't want to lose. And I think it's obviously unfortunate for fan bases and for front offices, but watching it all unfold is probably going to be really fun.
Yeah, I think the teams that are most interesting to watch this week, the aforementioned Tampa Bay Lightning, I think they obviously, you know, with the cap issue there, but more importantly too, they're going to have a protection issue. They're going to likely, looking at Joe Smith's reporting, they're likely going to be one of the rare teams that protects eight skaters because they want to protect four defensemen. But they're going to have some pretty good forwards available, whether it's Tyler Johnson, Alex Killorn, those kind of $5 million players are going to be available to other teams. You know, there's a thought that maybe Ryan McDonagh might be left exposed. There's a thought that maybe Cal Foote, who's a former first-round pick, might be exposed. And then you look at a team like Colorado, and Ryan Graves is a real good, big, penalty-killing defenseman. I don't think the Avalanche can protect him at this stage of the game. Like, that's a pretty good player that might be available. Either maybe Joe Sakic's like, I don't want to lose this guy for nothing to Seattle. If I have to expose him, I would rather make a trade this week and get some assets for Ryan Graves than to lose him to Seattle for nothing. So those are a couple of teams. And then the Minnesota Wild, I know that Mike Russo has been reporting that I think as of right now, they have not asked Parise and Suter to waive their no movement clauses for the purposes of being exposed in the expansion draft. But there's a team in Minnesota that might have to put Matt Dumba on the exposed list. And Matt Dumba is a pretty good defenseman who's got 2 years left at $6 million per. And if he's available, Seattle was all over him, you would think. So there's some teams that really have to do some gymnastics here in the next few days. So for me, I almost think I'm more excited about the week leading up to the draft than the draft itself.
Yeah, especially if we consider a lot of those things with Dumba, with Gio, you know, is there going to be a trade before the draft so the team doesn't have to protect that player? So will, you know, Minnesota, if they believe that Dumba would get taken for nothing, do they go and trade him for whatever they can get? The thing is you're probably trading that player for, like, you can't get a defenseman back for Matt Dumba because then you can't protect that defenseman that you just traded Matt Dumba for. So you're probably in a situation where you're trading guys for future assets, prospects, draft picks, when in a non, you know, expansion draft time, maybe you could get something more significant for a player like Dumba or a player like Mark Giordano. So I agree with you. I think that week leading up is going to be really interesting. But I think the actual expansion is going to be just really cool too. And I'm excited to see what the Kraken social team, what their front office, what they do. Cause they've just been, it's a easy organization to watch and kind of root for from afar. I know we're not really fans of teams anymore. But you know, I think we can all appreciate the way that the Kraken have done their job from the top down. And I think it's going to be a really fun and interesting couple of weeks here.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
All right, Haley, as we've talked about here on the show, the offseason is in full swing. And I'll tell you, a lot of eyes, I think, are going to be on the St. Louis Blues. And that is because of the terrific reporting done by Jeremy Rutherford last week, announcing that Vlad Tarasenko might be looking for a change of scenery. So it's great to be having Jeremy join us here on the podcast. Thanks for taking the time. How are you today?
Oh, it's great. Good to be with you guys.
Yeah, listen, let's start right there. Vlad Tarasenko, I think for a lot of people outside of your market, maybe this came as a surprise, but walk us through why Vlad Tarasenko might want to change the scenery.
Yeah, it's been, I think, something that's been brewing for quite some time. We all know that Vlad Tarasenko had the multiple shoulder surgeries. If you're out of town and you haven't been paying attention to the count, it's up to three now. And the first two were performed by the team physicians. And then this last one, he went outside the organization to the Stedman Clinic in Colorado and had it performed. And so, you know, is he the same player today that he was a few years ago? He's not. And he feels that some things could have gone better with the surgery, guys. There was some ligament damage in that first one that wasn't taken care of. And so when I wrote the story last week at The Athletic, just talking to some people close to the situation, they all said that he's upset about it to the point that he went to the Blues earlier this offseason and requested a trade.
Now, what do you think the Blues could get in return? I mean, what is his valuation currently at right now, given his age, his production, and of course the not so insignificant shoulder surgeries?
Yeah, I think it's difficult, Haley, because Corey Priman and I have a story up today at The Athletic about trade proposals. And it was difficult. It really was, because you're right. He's 29 years old. He's had the three shoulder surgeries. You know, he was 33 plus goals for five straight years, led the team in scoring. And when I watched him last year coming off these injuries, he's just not the same. Four goals in 24 games. And so I think it's going to be difficult. Also, he has two more years at 7.5 AAV. And for a guy his age with his health history, you know, what team is going to take that on in a flat cap, you know, environment? And so I think that you're talking about the Blues potentially retaining some salary. I think you're talking about the Blues maybe not getting the player in return that they want. But the tricky part here, I think, for Doug Armstrong is they still believe that their championship window is open. So it's not like you can trade Vladdy Tarasenko for a bag of pucks, a prospect and a pick, because you want to win now. And he's a big part of that when he's healthy and playing well. So to me, it's going to be tricky. And you know, I know Ian touched on the timeliness of this whole situation. You got the expansion draft protected list due at the end of this week. And do the Blues protect them? Do they try to get another forward onto that list and protect that person instead of Vladdy Tarasenko? Will Seattle take a crack at a guy like Tarasenko? So I don't know, so many questions, and that's what makes this whole entire situation intriguing.
And is there any way that this relationship between Tarasenko and the Blues can be repaired, or is this 100% heading to a trade?
Yeah, I don't think so at this point, Haley. I think it's a situation where obviously the Blues have known about the trade request probably for, you know, more than a month. And Doug Armstrong is, you know, gauging the market. And guys, it's to the point now where I don't think he can come back. We've seen it around the league in Buffalo with Jack Eichel, where there's been a disagreement about how the injury was handled and how it should be treated. And I believe in my reporting last week, you know, talking to people close to the situation, they feel that Vladimir Tarasenko is at a point where, you know, he can't trust the team. And primarily that's based on how the surgeries were handled, and that it didn't get taken care of, and that his shoulder still remained an issue. And so when a player of his ilk is upset and then it becomes public like that, I just don't see how the Blues and Doug Armstrong can keep him on the roster.
And, you know, you mentioned the fact that we're in a flat cap world, right? And listen, Seattle is probably working from a position of strength. They got a ton of flexibility. So yeah, maybe it makes sense he goes there. Outside of the Kraken, Jeremy, what are some other teams that potentially this could work, even if St. Louis has to eat a little bit of salary?
Yeah, and we touch on that today in the article. People can check it out at The Athletic. But we listed five teams. I believe that there's as many as 10 teams on Tarasenko's list, but I feel pretty strongly about the five we listed in the article today, Ian. And so you have the New York Rangers. He's really good friends with Artemi Panarin. Doesn't make a ton of sense for the Rangers because they have a lot of wingers. And, you know, Tarasenko plays his offside, so he's left shot, but he's on that right wing. You know, for people who aren't familiar with that. And then the New York Islanders, I think he sees a fit there. Obviously, they've been on the cusp of getting to the Stanley Cup final the past couple of years. And if Tarasenko can jump in and be kind of an instant offensive guy for the Islanders, that's a team. Vegas is another team that I believe he would have interest in going to. And then, you know, maybe these are outside looking in teams, but Boston, however, you know, obviously they have Krejci and Taylor Hall that they're trying to get done. They also have goalies that they need to sign. And then Philadelphia. Philadelphia's a team that took a step back last year, certainly, but they could use an instant offense, shoot-first type guy like Tarasenko too. So there are others. Thankfully, I think for the Blues' sake, Tarasenko's given them a number of teams. You know, we're not just talking four or six that he'll approve a trade to, and I think that's going to at least give the Blues more options.
We saw it in your original story about the Tarasenko trade and obviously as well with some of your fan surveys, but it always seems like one of the questions with the Blues is when and how can they get one of the Tkachuk brothers in St. Louis? Ian and I obviously both cover Matthew and Brady respectively. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on, you know, all of this? Is it just fans being excited about a homegrown talent, or is there actually some legitimacy to this in the future?
Yeah. Is there any way you guys could work out those trades and send the brothers home to St. Louis? I'd have to deal with a lot less rumors and speculation with both Tkachuks. You know, I've never lived anywhere else, so I don't know what it's like, you know, in Ottawa and Calgary, but St. Louis, it's so provincial in terms of, you know, they just love their own. And I think when you see a Matthew and a Brady growing up at the rink alongside Keith Tkachuk all these years, and then you see them become stars with their respective teams, it's like, hey, you know, come play for the Blues. And, you know, some fans who don't understand restricted free agency and contracts and things like that, they think it's pretty easy just to make a deal like that, but we know it's not. So yeah, Haley, I feel like you, every time I check my phone, check email, check Twitter, it's something to do with Matthew Tkachuk.
I got asked to go on St. Louis radio, and they're like, hey, we just want to talk about the Flames off season. And most of the interview was, how can we get Matthew
see, that's what I'm saying,
back home? I was like, yeah. I don't know. I feel like I got to walk the line here. I don't want to upset people in Calgary.
Yeah. And I don't see, you know, first of all, I don't see why Calgary would want to trade Matthew Tkachuk. He's a phenomenal player. And people talk about changing out the core in Calgary. And I get that he's now a part of the core, but he's not, you know, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but, you know, one of those guys that's been around forever and hasn't gotten the job done. To me, he's part of the solution. And so, you know, if he doesn't like the landscape and then he's able to, you know, looking forward a year or two here, you know, force his way out, then maybe it's a situation where the Flames will look to trade him. But I just, you know, every time I get that rumor, Haley, or get the speculation right now, I just say it doesn't make sense to me right now for the Blues and Calgary. The Blues, they'd have to give up way too much at this point. So I just kind of table it. And every time I do, it just pops up somewhere else.
You know, Jeremy, I think because you've been in St. Louis your whole life, you know the Tkachuk family so well. Do you see at some point, whether it's in Calgary, Ottawa, St. Louis, or elsewhere, do the Tkachuk brothers end up teammates down the road? Is that like a goal of theirs?
I think it could be. I've never talked to them about that. But, you know, they grew up watching their dad. They grew up in the Blues locker room. When they come home, you know, they're just grinning ear to ear. I know a couple of years ago, the All-Star game was here in St. Louis, and Matthew Tkachuk was in the All-Star game. And, you know, they had a big picture of him on a banner inside the Enterprise Center. And I, you know, texted him the picture and he was like, wow, that is cool. You know, so there's just this, you know, I think love for their hometown. And with Brady in that All-Star game too, he was on vacation, you guys might remember, and got the nod, was like a last minute add to the All-Star and just left vacation to hurry up and get home and play. And so in addition, they also have a tremendous bond, that family. And so when you talk about, is it a goal of them to want to play together? Yeah, I do think that they would cherish that if that were possible. I don't know that that's something that they're looking for earlier in their career, but I think that if, you know, all the stars align later in their career, I think they would try to make that work.
Yeah. Jeremy, I just want to ask you, as and we've kind of touched on the fact that this is a big week in the National Hockey League expansion. Protection lists have to be submitted by the 17th, which is Saturday. We'll get our hands on them on Sunday. What are the big issues? Like, what are the conundrums that Doug Armstrong is facing right now in St. Louis?
Yeah, so there's a couple, you know, and it's hard to predict this protected list, probably with every team in the league. But I think with regard to St. Louis, you have Jaden Schwartz, who's unsigned. You know, you can't protect a guy, or you wouldn't want to protect a guy who you don't have locked up. And so, you know, if he's still unsigned by the end of the week, then Seattle's going to get that 48-hour window to try to discuss a contract with Jaden Schwartz, if they want to. Then you have the Tarasenko situation, you know, hanging over your head. And, you know, if he's a guy who you don't think Seattle's going to take and you might be able to get something for him in a trade, maybe you expose him. Maybe you protect him. I think that's going to be a somewhat difficult call for Doug Armstrong. But if you look at who the Blues could potentially lose, I keep pointing at Vince Dunn, the defenseman. He's still 24 years old, a great skater. I think he's got great offensive instinct. You know, when he plays 15, 16 minutes a game, you know, he can handle his own. And so I think that if Doug Armstrong does not move Vince Dunn by the time that they need to put that protected list in, and he is exposed, I think he's a guy that Seattle would probably focus on.
Well, hey, listen, Jeremy, this was fantastic. And again, we do encourage our readers to check out the joint piece I did with Corey Pronman, just looking at, you know, some potential trade partners for the St. Louis Blues with Vlad Tarasenko. Thanks for this. We look forward to all of your Blues coverage here the next couple of weeks, because this is a busy cycle. But thanks for taking a few minutes with us here on the Athletic Hockey Show.
Yeah, good. Anytime. Thanks, you guys, for having me.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC. Navy.
All right. Great to visit Haley there with Jeremy Rutherford, one of the, as we just said, one of the nicest guys you're going to meet in this industry. And boy, it's going to be interesting to see kind of how this all plays out. And I love the fact you snuck in a Matthew Tkachuk question to Jeremy Rutherford. That was a smart move. I think your Flames listeners will appreciate that.
It's one of the, like I said to JR there, it's one of the most commonly talked about things right now, especially when it comes to St. Louis. Like I said, I did St. Louis radio and I thought I was going to be talking about the Flames offseason, maybe a little bit about Matthew Tkachuk. And it was basically all, how can we get Matthew here in St. Louis? What will it take? Will he come here and how? So I felt a little bit bad for Flames fans there. So it's probably nice for them to hear Jeremy talking about, you know, why Matthew's a great piece of the puzzle in Calgary and why it probably doesn't make sense for both sides. It can probably maybe quiet things a little bit until the next round of rumors start here in Calgary.
Well, listen, speaking of Jeremy Rutherford, he's going to actually help launch us into multiple choice madness here to wrap up the show, Haley. That's because we're talking about potential big names that are in play and going to be traded. As I mentioned, Jeremy Rutherford reporting last week that Vlad Tarasenko is in play in St. Louis. So here's question one for us to tackle in multiple choice madness, Haley. I want to know which of the following big names, star players, is going to be traded first this offseason. Is it A, Vlad Tarasenko, B, Seth Jones, C, Jack Eichel, or D, Duncan Keith? Haley, Tarasenko, Jones, Eichel, Keith, they're all on the market. Who gets moved first?
I'm going to say Duncan Keith because just in reading our Daniel Nugent Bowman, I saw a note in 31 Thoughts. It seems like the Oilers and the Blackhawks have been talking about something for you know, a decent amount of time now. So the fact that there's actually been trade talks, that information is out there. It's been reported. It's been sourced by a couple of people. I think that kind of puts that deal maybe ahead a little bit. I know Duncan Keith isn't on the level of someone like Seth Jones or Tarasenko, or certainly not Jack Eichel. But I think with the information that's been out there about those three trades, it's been, well, here are some of the teams who could be in play. You know, with Jack Eichel, I think we've seen the Flames, the Kings, Minnesota. There's been, you know, a handful of teams who it's been kind of narrowed down to in a lot of those cases, whereas Duncan Keith, we've seen a lot in the last couple of days about Duncan Keith and the Edmonton Oilers.
You know, I tend to agree with you. I could see Keith, like, it seems to me that Eichel might be the most complicated one to get done just because there's medical history there and there's a lot of term and dollars left on the deal. Like, I feel like Eichel is going to be complicated. But after that conversation with Jeremy Rutherford, I'm starting to wonder, Haley, if, and I guess technically, I mean, if Tarasenko gets claimed by Seattle, I guess he's the first guy moved. But I'm starting to think after that conversation with Jeremy Rutherford, do you not think that you could see a situation where St. Louis is like, you know what? Just getting out from under the $15 million we owe Tarasenko, it's worth it. We'll expose him. And if you're Seattle, you're like, hey, 2 years for a perennial, you know, 30-goal scorer when he's healthy? Yeah, why wouldn't we take a gamble? So I kind of feel like I could see Vlad Tarasenko being exposed in the expansion draft and Seattle claiming him.
But do you want to lose a perennial 30-goal scorer for nothing to Seattle when you could potentially try to work out a trade? Although, like Jeremy said, you would probably have to retain some salary.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, if you have to eat 50% of that salary, now you're on the hook for $7.5 million in the next 2 years. Like, wouldn't you rather have that money to go and pursue somebody else and then just let him go? Like, that's, anyway, that was a really interesting conversation. So I'm starting to think that maybe Tarasenko gets exposed. All right, on to question number two. In multiple choice madness, we open the show with the news that Pierre Maguire has been hired by the Ottawa Senators. Haley, the next question is, now that Pierre Maguire is off of television and into a front office, which current television broadcaster would actually be the best addition to an NHL front office? Is it A, Ray Ferraro, B, Dave Poulin, C, Cassie Campbell-Pascal, D, Kevin Weeks, or E, I'll let you go off the board, Haley, somebody else. I'll go first on this one. I am a huge Ray Ferraro guy. I think I love the way Ray sees the game. I think Ray is a great communicator. I like the fact that he, you know, he's a 400 goal scorer in this league, but he also has witnessed a lot as a broadcaster. He's well respected, but he's opinionated. And you know what? I would love to add that guy to my front office. I just think he brings a wealth of experience, credibility. He's one of the most well-respected people in the game, broadcaster or otherwise. So for me, I'm going Ray Ferraro. What about you?
Mm-hmm. It's hard to disagree with that, and I agree with you. I'm a big Ray Ferraro fan, and I think, you know, he does a great job. Like you said, he's very opinionated. You know, he'll use some of the analytical stuff, but he's not like a huge analytics guy, but he's also not bashing it. I think you can probably say he's one of those guys who probably looks at analytics to an extent. You know, expected goals can only go so far. If a guy's not scoring, he's not scoring. You can only quote expected goals for so long. So it's hard to disagree with Ray. I think in terms of like the best addition, I mean, I don't think you can really go wrong. I think, you know, Cassie Campbell-Pascal has, you know, a lot of experience in the women's game. I think she is incredibly intelligent. She understands the game of hockey. That's quite clear. I think Kevin Weeks is somebody that we've seen his name floated for front office positions in the past. I believe he's had interviews for general manager positions. So maybe in terms of who is the next person, I could see it being somebody like Kevin Weeks because, you know, he obviously does a good job with the broadcast in the U.S. and he's been linked to some of these positions already in the last year or so. So this is a tough one for me because it's hard to disagree with Ray Ferraro, but I could see Kevin Weeks being in the conversation as he already has been before.
Okay, final question. We'll do a hat trick of questions here in multiple choice, Maddie's Haley. I know our listeners know this about you, but you're a huge soccer fan. In fact, you are a passionate soccer fan. I know you were quite invested in that Italy-England match on the weekend, and so it came down to the penalty kicks, which is a normal thing for soccer fans, but not so normal for us who just like hockey. So here's my question, Haley. After watching that, it was nail-biting. It was, I'm sure, mentally exhausting for you as an Italian soccer fan. I know that you tweeted this out, but is France your team here? What am I missing here? I know you've got some Italian blood, but France is your team, right? Sorry about that.
No, don't apologize. It's actually a major source of contention with my family. I'm still in Ontario visiting my parents, and my dad is still mad at me for cheering for France over Italy because our family is Italian. My grandfather is from Italy. My grandmother is from Spain, but I was cheering for the French team.
Gotcha.
My dad still has not forgiven me. There's just a lot of players on France that, you know, I'm really big fan of from their club team, from watching them play for a number of years. But obviously I am Italian. So seeing Italy in the Euro final was nerve-wracking. It was very exciting to watch. Obviously I was disappointed that France got knocked out in the round of 16, especially after winning the World Cup in 2018. It was a huge disappointment. But yes, I am Italian, was rooting for the country in the Euro, and it was great to see them win.
Yeah, so this goes down to penalty kicks. And so here's my question. Final question, multiple choice madness. After seeing that thrilling Euro Cup Italy-England, would you ever want to see the NHL decide Stanley Cup playoff games with shootouts? A, yes. B, no. What about you, Haley?
No. No. I have, you know, I played basketball and soccer at, you know, pretty high levels growing up, and I've lost tournaments on penalty kicks, and it's the worst feeling in the world because you go to practice 5 days a week and you train to play soccer. You play hockey, you go to practice, you train to play hockey. You're not going to the rink or the field to shoot penalties. The majority of your time is spent on things that are actually related to the game that you're playing. So that's kind of my problem with ending something on a shootout or with penalty kicks. It's just not the way that, you know, I would much rather see another round of extra time than PKs. It's such a gut-wrenching way to watch a match too, and especially the way that that one ended with England and Italy. Watching Saka miss that, he's 19 years old, being put in that kind of position, it was really hard to watch. Obviously, being Italian, I was happy to see Italy win, but watching Saka's teammates surround him while he broke down on the pitch, it's really hard to watch, and it's hard to celebrate. You know, obviously you're happy, but it's hard to just stand there and cheer while you have a 19-year-old kid who feels like he just let his entire country down on, you know, one play off his foot. So I say no, throw them into the sun. I hate them.
Yeah, and what's funny, though, is that when you go to the IIHF rules and you watch international hockey, that's exactly how they do it, right? Like, you think of TJ Oshie in the Olympics. You think of Jonathan Toews of the World Juniors. I'm burned by the fact that you would have been you'd have been too young for this, but like the Nagano Olympics in 1998, like Canada loses in a shootout. I'm still sour about that. I'm like, this, it still sits with me. So I'm with you. I think it's one of those things. I understand the novelty and the shootout as a gimmick, as a way to end regular season games in a fast manner, but I don't want to ever see it come into the National Hockey League and the Stanley Cup playoffs. But we're going to have to live with it when we're watching the Olympics or the World Juniors, because the IIHF rules, it rules the day there.
Yeah, well, I've had conversations with plenty of women's players who have lost in a shootout on the Olympic stage with Team Canada. And, you know, it's the most heart-wrenching moment of their careers. I mean, I wouldn't have been old enough to watch 98, but I did see the last Olympics where Canada lost in the final in a shootout to the Americans. I mean, on one hand, it was such an incredible display of skill and talent. And on the one hand, it was great because I think it showed that women's hockey players, they've got hands. They can skate. They can make these plays. Melody Daou's shootout goal in 2018 was one of the best that I've ever seen. And obviously the Lamoureux twins were incredible. But, you know, Canada ended up losing on that. And I think, you know, losing a gold medal is difficult enough, but to lose it in that fashion, there's a lot of players who really struggled with that. And it's one of the worst moments of their career, because it's not just that they lost, but it's the way that they did it.
Yeah, no, exactly. I'm with you. I don't like it. So we say, put it, punt it into the sun, like you said. All right.
Yes.
Haley, we'll have to leave it there. This is going to be a pretty fun week. Listen, I look forward to your coverage around the Calgary Flames leading up to the expansion draft and who they might protect and expose. And then, boy, right after that, we got the NHL draft on deck and then free agency. This is going to be a busy week coming up for all of us. So looking forward to all your stuff here in the week ahead.
Thanks, Ian. You too. I'm sure it'll be interesting for the Sens as well.
Yeah. There's something about this McGuire hiring that I got to go and do something. So I better duck out of here. But hey, listen, a reminder that there were 5 days a week right now on the Athletic Hockey Show, the old Team USA edition with Custis and Gentilly. That's going to come your way Tuesday. And a little note, we pointed this out last week. Want to hammer this home again. Myself and Down Goes Brown, we're going to be with you on Wednesdays for the rest of the month. So all of July, Ian Mendes, Sean McAdoo with you on Wednesdays. We're going to punt Pierre LeBrun and Scott Burnside the Thursdays this month, and on Fridays it'll be Boltman and Prodman with that prospect series. So that is our jam-packed lineup for July. As always, thanks for listening to this edition of the Athletic Hockey Show. Follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a rating and review. You know we appreciate that. Annual subscriptions to The Athletic, they're available for just $3.99 a month when you visit theathletic.com/athletic.